Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that very much. All right, if you will open the Word of God to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We are just about ready to wind down this basic introductory study. I did not plan on it going this long, but I think that the part that we spent on the Holy Spirit is well worth it. It is essential to everything that you and I do in the Christian life. It's not done in the power of the Spirit. It's done in the flesh. Done in the flesh, it's of no benefit whatsoever in the spiritual life, in eternity, or time. So, let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer now, you should be well aware, to test yourself to see if you're trusting in His Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're just totally amazed at Your marvelous grace that has provided for us from the creation of human life in us to our salvation, spirituality, eternity, everything, Heavenly Father, is entirely up to You. And so now, Father, we pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things You would have us to see and understand about our spiritual life, spirituality. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. All right, last week, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now, another way of looking at this is you're either led by the law or you're led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 18. Verse 18 of Galatians 5, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You're not guided by the law. In verse 16, the Holy Spirit is placed in opposition to the flesh. In verse 18, the Holy Spirit is placed in opposition to the law. Galatian believers, they were doing it right. They were walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. They were running well. Then the religious legalists came in with the law, with their list of do and do and do and do, and disturbed the entire assembly. People, you have to be. One thing I hope you leave this basic series with, you have to be so careful just whom you listen to in the teaching of the Word of God. It is so crucial. Who you listen to teach you the Word of God. With the coming of the law of list came self-effort to obey the law. The Galatian believers, like a lot of Christians, they desire to live the Christian life. But now they were trying to live it by obedience to the law. And therefore, they will become legalists, and they have their list. As they tried to live by the law, sin increased in their lives. That's the purpose of the law, to increase sin. And the worst thing, as they lived in the flesh, even worse than the sin, the Holy Spirit had no opportunity to give them power over sin or to live the Christian way of life, the Spirit-filled life, or having Christ formed in them or loving as Christ loved. So now Paul exhorts them to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have the present, passive, indicative of the verb, the Greek verb, ago, A-G long O. Means to lead along, to bring, or even to carry. Lead, or being led by means of the Holy Spirit. And again, we have the dative of means. To be led by the Spirit, you have to be filled by the Holy Spirit. The present tense. But what is important here is the passive voice. The passive voice. I love the passive voice. It's generally the grace voice. It means that we receive being led by the Holy Spirit. To receive being led along in life. Receive being carried. To receive being brought to where God would have you be in each day and throughout the day. We receive being led by the Spirit. by the Holy Spirit, when we walk by faith in the Spirit, hear His leading, follow His leading, and both of these, all of these are accomplished by faith in the Spirit. Now, in 5:16, we are to walk in the Holy Spirit, present, active, indicative. 5:18, we're to be led by the Spirit. The present tense denotes what should be going on in your life throughout the day. The indicative mood is the reality. This should be the reality of your life. And then it says, not under law. You are not under the law. Not under the authority of the law. Not subjected to the law. Not dependent on the law. And when we finish this series, which we'll start the closing of it today, I think, we're going to look at the Divine Nine, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. People don't memorize the Ten Commandments. Memorize the fruit of the Spirit. But don't try to do them. But just know what the Holy Spirit will do inside of you. It is amazing how many Christians are led in their decision-making through life by the dictates of the law. It's amazing. The Ten Commandments are some list that their church or their denomination has. List of do and do and do and do and don't and don't and don't and don't. All in contrast and in conflict with being led of the Holy Spirit. Now, being led and guided by the Holy Spirit is closely related to the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to spiritually teach us the Word. Then we're dependent upon Him to guide in the discerning of that biblical truth, in correctly discerning it and in applying the truth to the various problems of life. This is going to become crucial. Two believers may know by the Holy Spirit the same truths, but are led in the circumstances of their life to apply them differently. So, if the flesh doesn't know how to apply Bible doctrine, the Spirit knows how, because the Spirit knows where God would have you to be. Guidance is a personal, individual direction of life in the will of God, and the will of God for each of us is different. Believers may be taught biblical truth in Bible class, but the application of that truth will be different in each one's life. This is the guiding ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit teaches us, we learn that from Jesus Christ, causes us to understand the truth, and then guides each of us individually guides us by the Word of God. Just trust God to lead you. Here's a perfect place to see the real dimension of obedience that God is looking for. When most people think of obedience, they think in the terms of the law, do and do, do and do. While the obedience that God is looking for is the obedience that is faith. And for the Christian in our life, it's faith in the Holy Spirit, following His leading by faith throughout our lives. And one reason that people take a cheap substitute of obedience to law is that most believers do not know how to be filled with the Spirit, do not know how to listen to the Holy Spirit, do not know how to be guided by the Holy Spirit. So they walk by sight. See, when you walk by sight, I can see. The law says don't do this, I don't do it. The law says do this, I do it. That's walking by sight. But we're a new creation. We walk by faith. We trust the Holy Spirit to lead us. Now here Paul centers on a third option by which to live your life. The first option that you can live your life by is by the flesh. Verse 16. The second option that you can live by is by the law. Verse 18. Our third, you can live it by the Holy Spirit. Multitude of people are led by the law instead of the Holy Spirit. Multitudes are led by the desires of their flesh instead of by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's very important. If you are led by the flesh, sin's going to result. If you are led by the law, lawlessness will result. Can't fail. Led by the flesh, sin. Led by the law, lawlessness. But if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under the law. The Holy Spirit and the law, the Ten Commandments, all the law, are here not only contrasted in our verse, but people, there are two distinct ways of living. The Holy Spirit and the law. Two different ways of living, the Christian way of life. And they are diametrically opposed to each other. The law is no safeguard against the flesh. See, people, well, my flesh desires to do this, so I need the law to safeguard me against it. The law is no safeguard against the flesh, but actually causes it to sin the more. The law and the flesh are close allies. Got to understand that. They're close allies. If you renounce the flesh, you must also renounce the law. If you renounce the law, you must also renounce the flesh. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, the law condemns nothing in your life. Isn't that fantastic? If you walk by the Holy Spirit, the law condemns nothing in your life. You don't have to be concerned about it. You don't have to wonder if you're obeying the law. If you're walking by the Holy Spirit, if you're being led by the Spirit, the law renounces nothing in your life. If you're led by the Spirit, the law condemns nothing in your life. If you're led by the Spirit, you are living as a son of God. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Now, you'll recall from last week that Romans 8 is one of the chapters, nearly the whole chapter, is about the Spirit-filled life. Nearly the whole chapter. Along with 1 Corinthians 2, Galatians 5, and a few other passages, chapters that we noted last week. But here, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, are sons of God. Okay? Being led by the Spirit, walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, these are the sons of God, joint sons with Jesus Christ, is what's going on here. Now, to be led of the Holy Spirit is the very essence of Christianity. This is why I've spent more time in closing this study on the Holy Spirit than with any other one subject. Because this is the essence of living the Christian life. And it's very poorly taught, if taught at all, how to be filled with the Spirit, how to be led of the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit. It's just not taught or often taught incorrectly. The Galatian believers were doing it right. They were living by faith in the Holy Spirit, led of the Holy Spirit. Look at Galatians 5. Go back to Galatians 5 now. And look at verse 7. Galatians 5, 7. You were running well. That's fantastic. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? What's obeying the truth? Well, by faith in the Spirit. Who hindered you? The false teachers. Those who taught the law. Just as a side thing here, kind of help you with momentum of the Christian life. I love the different things that are put in the Bible in regard to the Christian life. If you look at Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Stand firm. And then, in verse 7, you're running well. And then in verse 16, walk by the Holy Spirit. Well, would you make up your mind? Am I supposed to stand still or walk or run? See? They're all beautiful pictures of the Christian life. When we run, when we walk, we're running in the truth of Galatians 5:1, being set free in Christ. So it's that constant truth that we stay in. And then running is your momentum in your life. Momentum of going in the right direction. Momentum of glorifying Christ, being transformed into the image of Christ. And then walking is a picture of step by step in the Holy Spirit. So there's not a conflict here, just beautiful different ways of putting these things into perspective. Now, what happened to them? They were running well. The Judaizers came in, distorted the gospel to living by obedience to the law. Legal obedience. Now, what happened was this disturbed many of those who were walking by faith in the Spirit. These are Gentiles. First thing they heard was from Paul. Paul taught them to be saved, believe in Jesus Christ. You're saved by grace alone, or by faith alone in Christ alone. They did it. You're spiritual. You live your life by walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. They had nothing to confuse it with. They did it. And then some Judaizers came along, some legalists. Oh, no, you got to walk by the law. And it disturbed a lot of them. What's going on now? This short little guy with a squeaky voice, and that much we do know about Paul, taught us the grace way. Now these officials with their robes and their high credentials tell us we have to obey the law. It disturbed them. Look back at chapter 1 a moment, please. We looked at this, but look at chapter 1 just so you'll see what's going on in this book. Galatians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 6 and 7. I am amazed that you so quickly are sinning. Doesn't say that. That doesn't amaze Paul. What does amaze Paul is when you desert grace, when you leave it. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. There's a gospel by which we're saved, a gospel by which we live by. It's the same gospel. Verse 7. Which is really not another, which means it cannot save, it cannot produce spirituality. Only there are some who are disturbing you. So some are the false teachers who come in, and they're disturbing them with their false teaching, and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So this is causing them to be disturbed. They desire to live the Christian way of life, and I hope you do. And they desire to live it in the manner that God desires, obeying the truth. But these legalists came in and disturbed them. And some of them are now being led by the law. So Paul's coming in now and correcting this problem. Verse 18 now, Galatians chapter 5. But if you are led of the Spirit. Okay, question. By what or whom are you led in your life? Don't answer out loud. Just take a look at your own life. Are you led by some person? Husband? Wife? Parent? Preacher? Political leader? Someone living? Someone dead? There are people who died and have people still following what they're doing. Are you led by some desire inside of you? By the desires of the flesh? The desire to be wealthy or famous, to look a certain way, led by economics, have an economic interpretation of history, economic interpretation of our Constitution, economic interpretation of the Christian life. All are false. All are false. But a lot of people are led by it. You're led by emotion, fear, emotional love, some charismatic emotion? Or are you going to be led by the wind, by circumstances? Hollywood here in America has made the maverick something to be desired, just kind of roaming through life. And boy, people want to do that. Is that what you want to be led by, the wind? That the when determine where you're going, what you're going to do. Many people, Christians, are led today by senseless, almost unconscious following. They are led in their thoughts and their emotions. And therefore, so many Christians, both in America and throughout the world, are experiencing stress, anxiety, depression, fear, worry, all these things, because they're led by the circumstances of life. Led through life by the customs of the time. Many are seduced into following the dictates of the world, who, by the way, are the enemies of Christ. They hate Him. And yet Christians follow the dictates of the world. But you can make moment-by-moment decision to be led by the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus Christ sent to us for the very purpose to lead us. He tells us that. When we looked at Jesus Christ teaching on the Holy Spirit. And this is a moment-by-moment decision, always thinking. But the question arises, how? How are we led by the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit lead us? Okay, the how? When we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, He guides. And you have to ask yourself, people, and everyone has to ask themselves this question. I have to, you have to. Do you believe that God the Holy Spirit is inside of you, indwelling, and do you believe that He supernaturally guides from within? And this is up to you. You decide if you're going to be led by the flesh, by the law, by the world, by dictates of other people, or by the Holy Spirit. You make the decision if your flesh is going to lead you, or you make the decision about the law, or you make a decision about faith in the Holy Spirit. To be led of the Holy Spirit, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. How are you filled with the Spirit? We dealt with this last week. Walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? We dealt with that. Only then can He lead you. When He fills you, when you're walking in Him, then and only then can He lead you. So you have to know how to be led, filled with the Spirit. You have to know how to walk in the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's by faith. But how does the Holy Spirit lead? Let me give you some ideas. This is not a complete list. But let me give you some ideas on how the Holy Spirit leads. First of all, the Holy Spirit leads us by biblical truth. The Holy Spirit leads by biblical truth. We learn this with Jesus Christ. He will guide you into all truth. When walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, He will lead by biblical truth, knowledge of Bible theology. Call it Bible doctrine if you wish. We're led by this. So He leads us. He will never lead you contrary to biblical truth. And the more you know of the biblical truth, the more you know of these things, the easier it is for the Holy Spirit to lead. Secondly, the Holy Spirit leads us by spiritual love. That's right. We are led by the impact of spiritual love. Spiritual love is long-suffering. So the Holy Spirit leads by the dictates of the long-suffering of love. See? You're having a problem with your husband, your wife, a friend, someone at church, someone at work. Being led of the Holy Spirit. He pours in love. Love is long-suffering. Long-suffering says that you continue to love them even though they are wrong, even though they abuse and hurt and fail, sin. Spiritual love guides you. See? Spiritual love is kind. That will guide you in how to deal with people in life. So the Holy Spirit leads us by spiritual love. Now, this is why I said this is not a complete list, because I could list each of the 16 results or impacts of spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13. Go over those. This is how the Holy Spirit will lead us. And then three, the Holy Spirit leads you supernaturally from within. And so you have to ask yourself a question. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit leads supernaturally? Do you believe He indwells you? If so, why? And do you believe that He leads you from within? See? To be led of the Spirit is to be guided by the Spirit in all thoughts, aspirations, emotions, how to apply biblical truth, what you ought to do. Let me use a good example that just came up recently in my life. A lady from another state does not listen to our studies in Revelation, but she was being taught that the United States of America is going to be taken out before the tribulation. Therefore, she has a strong desire to move out of the United States and wanted to talk about it. I told her, here's a good point, where whether her interpretation of Revelation was right or wrong, whether it was right or wrong, her moving should be solely based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's say that that interpretation is correct. I do not believe it is. I do not believe Revelation teaches anything about America. But, just for the sake of discussion, let's say it is. America is going to be taken out before the rapture of the church. I don't know why, but let's just go with it. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit will lead some to stay put. The Holy Spirit may lead others to move. See? That's the freedom. That's the dynamics of the Spirit-filled life. It isn't the same for everyone. Same doctrine. Same truth, or here, not truth. He leads differently. He will lead us totally different. Okay, most Christians know adultery are biblical grounds of divorce. But it's not in the imperative mood. Just because your spouse has an affair, there's no imperative mood that you are to divorce. And I believe the Holy Spirit will lead one person to remain in the marriage, and I believe the Holy Spirit may lead another person to divorce. Got to give Him that freedom. It's individual. It's the dynamics of the Christian life, people. That's why we're so dependent on the Holy Spirit. We can have the same biblical truth, and yet it is applied in our own lives differently. And that's so wonderful. People, this is why we don't judge one another. We don't judge each other when they sin, and we don't judge each other how they live. Just leave them alone. Walk by faith in the Spirit yourself. So the Spirit-filled life is a dynamic life. We have to know how to walk in the Spirit, how to be led of the Holy Spirit. See? And since you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. That is, you are not led by the law. The way of many Christians are, the way their life is, they're led by the law. They're not led by the Holy Spirit. They have their rules and their do's and their don'ts, and they're so concerned about not doing wrong and doing right and all of that. They're not concerned with walking in the Holy Spirit. They're not concerned with glorifying Christ. They're glorifying Christ. Oh, if I do this list, I'll glorify Him. They're not occupied with the Lord. They're occupied with their list. They're occupied with the law. People, they walk by sight, not by faith in the Spirit. To walk by law, legalism, some list, is to walk by sight. Boy, here it is. Here's my list. I got it down. And I feel confident at the end of the day, I didn't break any of these laws. I did everything that's on this list. What a shame. All the dynamics that you've missed out on that day. They have faith, all right. But it's not the faith that God is looking for. Their faith is that if I live by this list, if I live by the law, then God will bless me. It's an erroneous view of God. And it's an erroneous view of the Holy Spirit. It's an erroneous view of the Christian way of life. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit, not by the law. The law and the Holy Spirit are mutually exclusive. They are opposed to each other, and you've got to understand this. Living by law leads to lawlessness. Living by flesh leads to sin. The Holy Spirit and the law are mutually excluded and are opposed to each other. The Holy Spirit and law are opposed to each other. The Holy Spirit and the flesh are opposed to each other. You choose, moment by moment, which will lead you. The law not only does it not prevent sin, but actually increases sin in our life. The flesh and the law are kindred. They belong together. Okay, verse 18, but if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. We have to move on. Verse 25, we come to the third and fourth concepts of the believer and the Holy Spirit and the last two of our study. Verse 25, if you live by the Spirit, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Holy Spirit. Well, we have a little work to do. First of all, let's just start off and have some fun with that first word, if. If. It's one of those fun things you learn. You start learning Greek. If is if. Well, not in Greek. There are at least four classes of the concept behind the word if. For an example, there's what we call a first class condition of if. That's if and it's true. And it comes out in the Greek's grammar, how the Greek is written. Then there's a second class condition, if and it's not true. Then there's a third class condition, if maybe it's true, maybe it isn't. And most of these can be told by the Greek. Now what we have here is a first class condition. If we live by the Spirit. So, for simplicity, let's just translate it since. Because it is a fact, first class condition, since we live by the Spirit. Now people, this is important. The Holy Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit gives life. We often emphasize, and rightly so, that we have life in Jesus Christ, and we do. We have eternal life in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there's life in Christ. But we also need, now that you grasp that, to need to understand that in the Paraclete, whom Jesus Christ sent to us, also gives life. Remember, we studied the word Paraclete. He also gives life, daily life, spiritual life. Look with me at the Gospel of John 6. Now let's look at verse 63, way over there in 63. We have a series on John. I shudder to recommend it because it took us a little while to get there, get through where we are. We're in chapter 16, a great chapter. But anyway, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. There it is, right there, plain, in Greek or English. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Okay, here we have the flesh again in contrast. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. Okay? Now look at Romans chapter 7, verse 6. Romans 7, 6. Romans 7 sets up the problem in which Romans 8 will take care of, the problem of the need of the Holy Spirit. That's why chapter 8 of Romans is one of the important chapters dealing with the Holy Spirit. All right, Romans 7, 6. But now we have been released from the law, now that you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now we have been released from the law. There's the law problem. Having died to that which we were bound, so that we serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Since we're led by the Holy Spirit, we're not under the law. Been released from the law. Hope you're getting it. The Holy Spirit's opposed to and opposite from both the flesh and the law. All right, look at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8 while we're right in the same area. Going from Romans 7, which presents the problem. Now look at Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life. And Paul tells us in Galatians 5, Spirit gives life. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. See, the law, sin and death. Sin from the flesh nature. The death from the law. The law condemns. But the Spirit gives life in Christ Jesus. Some people have problems with this kind of teaching on the Holy Spirit. Well, you're taking away from Jesus Christ. No, people. That's why I started out this study with you, going through all the passages in John 14, 15, and 16 on the teaching of the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ Himself. So that you would see there's no conflict. No conflict whatsoever. Look at verse 6 of chapter 8 of Romans. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Well, we could spend a long time in this one verse. But let's just note, for the mind. People, the mind is where the battle is fought. The battle is in the mind. Who's going to control your mind? The flesh or the Holy Spirit? The mind set on the Holy Spirit, that's walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 11 of chapter 8. We don't have time to cover the whole chapter, Romans 8, but it's one of the great chapters on the Holy Spirit, the whole chapter. Verse 8, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and this is what we call a first-class condition. Ha-ha, see, now you're ready for that. It's no problem to you. So let's translate it. But since the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which we've already studied. See, you have that down. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. Indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He gives life. Also turn with me, and those of you that are here, we can just look at 2 Corinthians 3:6. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, that's the law, but of the Spirit. So you got the letter of the law versus the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It's so important to know how to live in the Holy Spirit, that we might have His life. And this is the same way we receive the eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ, and it's by faith. You want the life that Jesus Christ gives, eternal life? Trust. You want the life that the Holy Spirit gives daily? Trust. It's the same way. As you have received Him, walk. By faith we receive the life of Jesus Christ, eternal life. By faith we receive the life of the Holy Spirit, spiritual life, as He lives in us, in our lives. The church is in trouble today throughout the whole world, whatever part of the world you live in, because so few pastors are teaching how to be filled with the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit, how to be led of the Spirit. They may talk about being filled with the Spirit. They may talk about being led of the Spirit, but they don't tell you how. And it's so simple, just by faith. But therefore, the church is dead. And why is the church dead in places throughout the world today? For people, it's the Holy Spirit who gives life. It's the Holy Spirit who gives life to believers, and if believers don't know how to tap into that life, they're dead. Spiritually. Not eternally, but spiritually. What's wrong with the church today? Church is dead. It's receiving no life from the Holy Spirit. There are those who are believing in Jesus Christ as Savior and receiving eternal life, but afterwards, spiritually dead. No spiritual growth. Oh, they may be even studying their Bible, but doing it in the flesh. People, the flesh cannot understand the Bible. If you want to open this book and listen to someone teach or just read it yourself, please be sure you're in the filling of the Spirit. Let me just tell you personally something. To me, the most dangerous thing you will do on earth as a Christian is to open this book. That's more dangerous than sinning. It's more dangerous than anything you'll do. Because when you open this book and you open it in the flesh, you will think you're seeing the truth in the flesh. Remember where we started all of this? Isaiah 28. So the word of the Lord, that's the gospel, will become do and do, do and do. Rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here, a little there, right? When we started all this. So you want to be sure that you're in the filling of the Holy Spirit. There are many people who live by law, or they try to think that they do. Everything they do, they're thinking of the law to guide them. And they're lawless. They become legalists. And live a legalistic life, which before God is a dead life. It's amazing how many people who are physically alive, breathing, think that they're living, but the only ones that are truly living are those living and being alive in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes in life, we're brought to the reality of this whole thing about living. I remember the time just preceding my own mother's departure from earth. Bless her heart, she was lying in a bed in a home. She couldn't move, couldn't get up, couldn't take care of her body functions. And she looked up at me and she just said, "Why doesn't he take me home? This is not living. Just lying here is not living." Now, what I'm saying here, people, is how horrible that is, but how wonderful it is that you know it. She knew it. She knew this was not living. She was ready to go home. But you know what? There are a multitude of Christians who are so active in their life, they don't even realize how unliving they are. How they're not living in the power of the Spirit. They think they are. Oh, and they're so active. They're so busy. They're busy doing this and they're busy doing that. They're busy reading their Bible. They're busy singing. They're busy, busy, busy. They're dead. They're in the same condition as my mother, just lying there. This isn't living. Can't get up. Can't take care of yourself. This isn't living. But you see, when we can do all these physical things, we think we're alive. People, it's the Holy Spirit who gives life. Since we live in the Spirit. So we need to see ourselves without the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit as my mother saw herself lying in that bed. That's what we need to do. We need to see what we look like when we're not having the life of the Holy Spirit poured into us. Dead works. Dead in sin. And the only one who can give life as to the believer is the Holy Spirit. This is why no person can be a person of action unless he is a person of faith. You want to be a person of action? You have to be a person of faith. You want a dynamic life? Live a dynamic prayer life, faith life. Now, let's go from that. The Holy Spirit gives us life. The Holy Spirit is the only air we breathe, and without which we cannot go on living. Look at life and living in the breath. And this is most clearly seen in the Greek word for spirit. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma. You know what else that word means? That word means breath. Breath. And how most befitting this is. For the Holy Spirit is the breath of life. For the believer in Jesus Christ. To make this clear, The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. R-U-A-R-U-C-H. Ruach. You know what that word means? That word means breath. Life. The Holy Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit gives life. Genesis 1, verse 2. Job chapter 33, verse 4. Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual life. Different but similar, people. It's like crossing the Red Sea and crossing the Jordan. Not many people know about crossing the Jordan. A lot of people know about crossing the Red Sea, how you powder the water, they walk through. Picture of salvation, eternal life, salvation in Jesus Christ. Crossing the Jordan, it's a picture of the spiritual life. You know what, how that happened? Parting of the waters and they walk through. Different, but similar. Your salvation, eternal life, is different from your temporal spiritual life, but it's similar. One's by Jesus Christ, one's by the Holy Spirit, and both are by faith. So if you want to live for Christ daily, then you have to live, you have to breathe. You have to breathe in the Holy Spirit, as it were. For it is the Holy Spirit who gives you life. It gives you a life that touches time and eternity. Living in the flesh is empty. It's dead. It's only related to time. Living in the Holy Spirit is eternal. And while we're living, we breathe in the Holy Spirit. The food, the energy we eat, what is that? It's the Word of God. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And another passage that I like is Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became for me a joy, and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. And people were called by his name. You know what Christian means? Christian means little Christ. It's a derogatory term, by the way. You and I wear it as a name of banner, as an honor. Christian, one who believes in Jesus Christ. Actually, the word was originated by the enemies of Christ as to intimidate those who would follow him. Well, you're just a little Christ. You don't think for yourself. You don't do anything for yourself. You're just little Christ. They meant it in a ridicule manner. But we wear it as a name of honor. And then there is Ezekiel. Chapter 3, verse 3. And he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach, fill your body with the scroll, that's the word of God, which I am giving you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. And another one that I really like is Job chapter 23, verse 12. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Physical food. The spiritual food of the Word of God was more important to him than the physical food for his body. Okay, people, it's like this. Our breath is the Holy Spirit. Our food is the Word of God. Our life is to glorify Jesus Christ. And to accomplish this, we must be in the power of the Spirit. It can only be accomplished in the power of the Spirit. All right, our passage says, walk by the Holy Spirit, present, active, indicative. And we do this by faith in the Spirit, not by the law, but by the Holy Spirit. If you are led by the Holy Spirit, present, passive, indicative, we receive being led by the Holy Spirit. Now we come, since we live by the Holy Spirit, present, active, indicative. This is in the dative of means, live by means of the Holy Spirit. Now let's take a look at the last phrase in verse 25. The last phrase in verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, and I had to go through that quickly. There's so much there. But I just hope you understand, you want life as a Christian, It must be from the Holy Spirit. He is a life-giving member of the Godhead to the believer. Okay, since we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Okay. Now, you will notice in the margin, if you have a New American Standard Version, it has marginal notes. In the margin, it says, follow the Spirit. The King James, let us also walk in the Spirit. The NIV has something interesting. The NIV says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What's going on here? What's going on? Let us walk by the Spirit, follow the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Okay, let's see if I can help you very quickly. In verse 16, walk by the Spirit. The word to walk was the Greek word peripateo, P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. But here, in verse 25, this word is stoicheo, S-T-O-I-C-H-E long O, stoicheo. Now, whether you know Greek or not, it doesn't take much to say, well, those aren't the same words. Those are two entirely different. Hey, I got it! Those are two different words. Don't know what each of them means, but I know they're different. And they are different. They are different words. Okay? Verse 25, stoicheo. Now, stoicheo means to stand or go in order. To advance in order. Now, therefore, I do like the attempt of the NIV. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. The New American Standard marginal, since we live by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit. The Greek word stoicheo, it's a military word. It's a rich word. It's a military word. March in file is a simple understanding of this word. Stoicheo! March in file. To march in step. Now, each country is different. I don't know about your individual country, if you're living in another country. But in America, in the military, they try to take approximately 250 men and to make a company. 250 young men, entirely different walks of life, different economics, different races, different creeds, different everything. And you got to take all of these 250 men and in a very short time getting them to work as a unit. That's impossible. If you just think about the task that you've got to do, 250 men, and in a matter of weeks you've got to have them ready for combat, ready to do things together. Okay, so what do? You march. And you march, and you march. You wake up marching, you go to sleep marching. It's right face, left face, bout face, double time, all this type of thing. Over and over. And pretty soon, the joker that would turn left face when you said right face, the joker that kept walking forward when you said about face, they all start getting in line. And in a very short order, you've taken 250 men of entirely different lives, and you've got them as a unit. Got them working as a unit. They're in stride. They're in step. That's this word, stoicheo. They're in step. See? This is where you get the Roman word, the phalanx, which depended on individual soldier being firmly in line. He followed the leader. Therefore, we're going to be part of the plan of God. If we're going to be part of the plan of God, if you want to be a part of the body of Christ, if you want to function with other believers in a local assembly in life, if you want to glorify Christ, it's dependent on being firmly in line with the Holy Spirit. Not with others, but with the Holy Spirit. And you function as a body of believers when you're in line with the Holy Spirit, see? Let me give you four principles. One, you can choose to stand as one with the legalist, if that's what you want to do. You can choose to stand as one with the legalist. with those who keep their lives in line with the law. Two, or you can keep yourself in line with the world. Which, by the way, is that many prefer to live their Christian life according to the norms and standards of the world. Three, or you can keep your life in line with the desires of your flesh. One of the desires of your flesh, keep your life in line with that. Some people live very disciplined lives because they keep in line with their flesh. Just a silly example. Somebody really wants to have a macho, wonderful, healthy, well-built body. Boy, they are so disciplined. They are so disciplined. They won't even eat ice cream. I don't understand such discipline. See? But they discipline themselves to the dictates of the flesh to keep in line with that. Or point four, you can keep in line with the Holy Spirit. Another way of looking at keeping in line with the Holy Spirit, putting it negatively, it means we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We do not quench the Holy Spirit. So stated negatively, grieving the Holy Spirit is when we stop walking by faith and sin results. That grieves the Holy Spirit. This is a very quick understanding of these two very basic and important truths. Grieving the Holy Spirit is when we stop walking by faith in the Spirit and sin. That grieves the Holy Spirit. Quenching the Spirit is when we do not listen to His leading. Being led of the Spirit, we do not listen to His leading. That quenches Him. We would not do what He would have us to do or say what He has to say. Be in Bible class. Witness to someone. Write a letter. Do something. And you say, no, I don't have time or no. Where do you think that thought came from? Where do you think the thought came from? Do you believe in the leading of the Spirit? I believe in the leading of the Spirit. Okay. Then you're walking by faith in the Spirit and a thought comes. Call someone, write someone, do something, say something, da da da. I don't want to do that. I don't know them that well, or whatever it may be. You've just quenched him. He just quenched it. So stated negatively, since we live by the Holy Spirit, let us not grieve the Holy Spirit. Since we live by the Holy Spirit, let us not quench the Holy Spirit. Since we live by the Holy Spirit, let us not live by the law. Let us not live by the flesh or by the world. Or you can choose to keep yourself in line with the Holy Spirit by walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. So allowing Him to guide you according to God's plan. See? So we walk by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit, we live by the Spirit, we keep our life in line with the Holy Spirit. Ever watch a military procession in any country? How everyone's in step and and how they all look so good? Now imagine one soldier upon the command of right face. He got this whole squad and one right face and one soldier turns left. He's going to stick out, isn't it? You're going to go, oh no, that's my son. Oh no, that dummy. See, that turkey. Or you say, you know, about face, and he keeps walking forward. Now do you see what happens? Not only is he not in line with the unit, but he messed up others. He messed up others. When he said about, when the command was to about face, and everyone about face except this one yo-yo, and he went straight. Kept going forward, he messed up the people in front of him. People, when you're in line with the Holy Spirit, others can be in line with the Holy Spirit. Where did we study? We studied this with spiritual love. When you love as Christ loved, this allows others to live their Christian life in a Spirit-filled life. It doesn't cause them to react and counter and fight back and want to do this and get into all these confrontations. You bite one another, you devour one another, as Paul says in Galatians 5. So when you're in line with the Holy Spirit, the whole unit, the whole body of Christ can function together. So we've had now, be filled with the Holy Spirit. walk by the Holy Spirit. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, since we live by the Holy Spirit, keep in line with the Holy Spirit, guided by Him in our lives. And He will guide into the Word of God. He will guide into the path of righteousness. He will lead into a life of loving as Christ loved. And as such things, there is no law against them. Okay, we have one class left. Next time we will look at the whole purpose of walking by faith in the Spirit. And we're going to look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to compare that with the impact, the effect of spiritual love. And here's a picture of your life, people. Here's a picture of life without stress, anxiety, depression, fear, worry. We're going to look at the effects of spiritual love, 1 Corinthians 13, and the impact of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And it's so easy, you don't have to work to have them come about. So let's close in a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Spirit will take the things that we've seen this morning rather quickly. But He will cause these things to become a reality in the soul of those who listen, and then in their lives. First inside them, and then be manifested in their life. Father, we pray these things that Christ may be glorified in their life. The love of Christ might be seen in their lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His benefit and glory. Amen.